Welcome to the second season of the Gutsy Health Podcast with Shanique Roney and Gina Warfel, where we share uncomplicated, practical, and affordable wellness education so you can be a self-healing champion. This episode is brought to you by the Gutsy Health Membership Program, a program that gives you inexpensive tools and resources to heal your mind, body, and soul. Visit our website at mygutsyhealth.com. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Gutsy Health Podcast. I have my co-host Gina Warfel with me today, and it's so nice that we get to do this in person, isn't it?
It feels so good to be here at the studio in Provo.
And by studio, we mean just the office.
The office.
Just whichever office is available, we go into. There's no fancy studio.
It has two chairs.
It feels like a studio. There's a low bar. We have two chairs, guys, and we record with mics. So that's it. That's all we need.
It's fun, though.
I'm trying to convince Gina to stay in Utah for as long as possible.
Hey, but I'm here.
I know. And you keep bouncing around, which is fine. I can wait patiently as long as you're just like, you keep coming back here.
It's actually really fun when sometimes listeners will send me a message on Instagram and they're like, yay, you're usually the Utah people. I love when the Utah people are like, oh my gosh, I heard that you're in Utah. This is so fun. I get like this fun, warm welcome from the Utah people who listen. It's really fun.
It's like, we like to keep our own together, right? Yeah. There's big families here and they all kind of stick together. And you're my family. And so when you leave, it's just like, no, don't leave the nest.
I love when you're needy.
You have mentioned that you do like needy, Shanique.
I do like it.
And I try to be very autonomous where I'm just like, no, I'm fine. I'm fine.
I know that you're faking it though.
Because I want you to do your thing, you know? And I'm like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. I don't need you, but I do.
Yeah.
And when you're here, I just love it.
Yeah. It fills my worth when you need me.
Okay, good. Let's just keep this codependence up. Okay.
I love it.
You guys, today we're talking about, I think, one of the most important health subjects on the planet, especially for Americans, and that's blood sugar. It's blood sugar regulation, and holy cow, blood sugar can affect so many things. And it's really interesting because, Gina, you're going to be talking specifically today on blood sugar and weight gain and weight loss and like metabolism, basically, because this is a huge problem. Dietitians, even you as a dietitian, were taught calories in, calories out, count your carbs. It's all about macros. And that's absolutely not true. And so people are busting their butts at the gym and restricting carbs and calories and all these things, and they still can't seem to lose weight. There's so many women that deal with this, and it's kind of like the blind is leading the blind here.
Yeah.
And so today you're going to shed a big fat flashlight on like how we're doing this wrong and how we can actually do it right.
Yeah. Correct. There was a huge learning curve for me too, because, you know, going to school, getting education all about nutrition, and of course, dietitians is like, mainly people are going to need support with weight loss. And when we talk,
is that what they told you in school? Like, it's mainly weight loss?
I don't know if they necessarily told us that in school. I guess maybe that was just something that I thought was that people were going to come to find out, number one, what people actually ended up coming for was gut issues.
Oh, interesting.
That surprised me. I think people more have gut issues than weight loss issues.
Which is why everyone should be taking my digestion restoration course, because I say this number all the time. 9 out of 10 people are going to experience digestive dysfunction in their lifetime. You have a 90% chance of having gut issues because you live in modern day, in a modern day world with modern day kinds of foods that are highly processed and chemicals and drug and pollutants and all the things. So that's really interesting.
Especially also if you want to lose weight, like your gut health depends on your ability to lose weight. This is kind of going off topic, but we know that a healthy gut microbiome influences your appetite, your ability to lose weight. So in Mastering Blood Sugar, I love showing people about how these microbes can actually influence our blood sugar and ability to lose weight. So it's like gut and even this goes hand in hand.
Right.
But side note, we scrolled there for a second, but it was really interesting because I had the idea that if people want to lose weight, then they need to eat less. And it's like, calculate how many calories they need. We're supposed to put in their weight, put in their height, and you like calculate a number and then you give them a plan. And so that's kind of what I was trying to also do for myself, like going through a period where I'm like, yeah, I kind of want to like lose 10 pounds, like really get into shape. But what I found was that it was really, really hard. I had to like write down my calories, and it felt like all day I had to try to like eat less. I cannot do this. This feels like such an uphill battle. And I only want to lose like 10 pounds. What about the people who want to lose 50, 80 pounds? How can anyone ever get there doing this? It feels like impossible. And what's interesting is when you go to school, they teach blood sugar kind of in terms of like, this is for people with diabetes.
Interesting.
And blood sugar is the, once you get to the disease level, you have diabetes. What about before that?
Right. Like what about steps 1 through 10? Because diabetes is 10, right? What about blood sugar regulation when you're at a 3 or a 5 and now you're hitting metabolic syndrome status?
That midsection weight gain, that's that stubborn midsection weight gain is the number one biggest clue of blood sugar issues. Right. And it might not be diabetes yet, but this is the path. When we have weight loss resistance, blood sugar is actually really where it's at.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is once you shift your focus away from like calorie restriction, which slows the metabolism, it causes us to like be hungry all the time because
and go into hibernation mode.
Going into hibernation mode with balanced blood sugar, which we're going to get into some of those science and the mechanisms today, you can actually feel full, feel satisfied, keep up your metabolism, but just switch the way that your body uses fuel. You're burning fat instead of carbohydrates all the time.
Right. Now we're going to do blood sugar 101 here. You're teaching a blood sugar course soon. And what are the dates for those courses? Because I highly recommend everyone signs up for this. This is core information. If you are to understand health and healing, if you are to understand weight, if you are to understand hormones, if you are to understand aging or anti-aging, you need to understand blood sugar regulation. And so we'll put the link in bio for the blood sugar course. But what are those dates for that?
So yeah, Mastering Blood Sugar, it starts August 22nd. And there's going to be 4 classes, like Tuesday, Thursday, where we're going to go really deep into understanding and applying this in real life with our own bodies.
Mm-hmm. And so, you know, what's really interesting is I went to get my ultrasound, my 20-week ultrasound, and the technician there, he's been doing these screens and these ultrasounds for like 35 years. And so he is big into health and prenatal health and postpartum health and all that. And it was so cute because he's giving me like all this health advice and Ryan's just like smiling because I know all these things, you know?
Right. He doesn't realize.
It was the sweetest thing. Yeah. It was so sweet. But like he told me something that I actually didn't know. And he was like, when moms eat too much sugar while they're pregnant, that actually crosses the placenta and it overstresses baby's pancreas. Their pancreas isn't supposed to handle that much sugar. And so we are setting them up for failure and they're not even born yet. Wow. But he also mentioned that what this actually does is it changes their epigenetics. And so we are predisposing babies to food allergies and sensitivities and potentially metabolic syndrome.
Wow.
So they could be born predisposed or like weakened to get metabolic syndrome. And so it's so important that we understand sugar is really, really bad for us. And what's really sad is we're only supposed to have about, women are supposed to have 24 grams of sugar a day, men 26 or 28, I can't remember. And the average American has about 100 to 125 grams of sugar. So that's 4 to 5 times more, you know, and we're not designed for that.
Like when you start reading labels, it's really eye-opening. Like, I think that's the number one thing that my clients will start learning is they're like, I'm so blown away though. I'm drinking this juice and there's 65 grams of sugar, but I swear, it seems so, they can't even wrap their heads around it. This is 3 times as much sugar as I'm supposed to have in an entire day. I thought this was a healthy thing, but they're the ones who are stuck, unable to lose weight and just shed that weight that seems very resistant. And they think my body must be against me.
Right.
But it just takes actually a simple strategy switch and you can feel so much better. And I think that this really is the key to being able to get your body to burn a different fuel source, which is more fat, more easily. When you do, you feel more satisfied. You can eat enough food. You have better energy. You don't get these crazy sugar cravings.
Right.
And so now when I work with people, this is just like the go-to. You don't have to count calories. You don't have to be on a restrictive plan. It's just training your body to use a different fuel source. And then it becomes so much easier.
So what does that mean to use a different fuel source? What would be some changes?
Yeah. So if you think about the food that we eat all provides fuel for our bodies, whether it's carbs, fats, or proteins. Mm-hmm. And so whether we're eating them, they also come from other sources. I guess this is a little bit deeper, but like if you're stressed, stress also releases sugar. But let's just say, to keep it simple, if you're eating carbs, fats, or proteins, our bodies takes that and turns it into fuel. If we have too much, we store it as fat. Mm-hmm. Typically, we eat carbs, and that's like the quickest fuel source that our body uses. That one's like typically the primary, right? While we're just doing things, we're hanging out, we're sleeping, we're living our daily lives. That's the number one fuel source that gets tapped into. Mm-hmm. The fuel source that we all desire to use is our fat. And carbohydrates has a limited fuel tank. Like if your car had a fuel tank, the carbohydrates can only fill up so high. Mm-hmm. After that, after the carbs are filled, it turns into fat. Mm-hmm. And our fat stores are infinite. We can continue to build and build and build. We have this infinite tank, which is kind of a blessing, because if we ate food and we didn't have anywhere to put it, our bodies would probably fall apart. So it's kind of this storage. So our bodies at any moment can choose to use carbohydrates or fats, but carbs are typically the primary source of fuel. Mm-hmm. And so what most people are doing is they might wait a little bit of time. They feel their carbohydrates starting to drop in that fuel tank. It's getting closer to E. And then they get really that hangry, like, oh my gosh, I don't have enough carbs. I don't have enough fuel. They quickly grab carbs, fill up that carb tank again, wait a few hours, carbs slowly go down, and then they feel that drop again, they're getting hangry. Grab, and the more we let it drop, the more we're likely to rebound and eat too much. And then when we eat too many carbs, we feel sleepy and lethargic. And if you've ever had too many carbs and you're just like, oh man, I feel so heavy after eating.
Mm-hmm. Or I need to take a nap.
Yeah. And that's our bodies being used to that blood sugar, the carbohydrate roller coaster. Mm-hmm. And so I hear this a lot with people who wake up and they need to eat immediately. Their body hasn't adapted to being able to just switch over and use fat as the fuel source. So they get that hangry, they need to snack all the time, they get a crash. That's how you know your body is kind of relying on carbohydrates. If your body is, there's a term, it's called metabolically flexible. Some people don't like it because it's not a scientific term, but mm-hmm. it's like, you kind of get the point across where your body gets adapted to, it can burn through some carbohydrates, but it can switch over easily and tap into fat burning. Mm-hmm. And this can only happen when our blood sugar is in balance. Mm-hmm. If our blood sugar is elevated all the time, it basically shuts down fat burning in the body. It's like the key does not open up the door. Mm-hmm. It is like, nope, we're not tapping into fat burning. So people who struggle to lose weight are constantly burning that sugar storage, fill it up, bring it back down, fill it up, bring it back down. And they never quite access the fat burning, especially around the midsection.
So I think I missed it. So do they want to keep their carbohydrate gas tank full? How do they switch over?
So you switch over by giving your body a break from insulin. So let's break down the connection. We're going to get a little bit sciencey here. Let's break down the connection between glucose and insulin, because this really actually is, it's actually more of an insulin problem than a glucose problem. So anytime we eat those carbohydrates, you eat the bread, you eat the rice, mm-hmm. anything like that, your body releases insulin. That's the hormone that basically takes the carbohydrates and puts it away into your cells.
Right.
Maybe it puts it into the liver to get stored as glycogen. It can get used up, burned up as energy if you needed energy, but, or it can get stored as fat. So when you eat carbohydrates, insulin gets released. Here's an important thing to know. Insulin is for storing fat. So if insulin is always being released because you keep eating too many carbohydrates, insulin is like the security guard. It's like fat is not coming out. Fat is only going in. We're not letting it out.
So it's saying that fat's not coming out, but we're also opening up cells to put carbs in the cells, right?
Exactly.
So fat. As long as insulin is there, it is blocking fat utilization.
Exactly. It's like, nope, fat's not coming out. Mm-hmm. So if we're constantly, let's say we're eating a low calorie diet, but we're eating rice cakes. Mm-hmm. That's the way that I used to eat, right? Fruit, rice cakes, they're healthy, they're low calorie. What happens is glucose is going up, insulin is going up. So the body switches over to a storage. It's like, let's get these carbohydrates put away, turned into fat. And if your calories are so low that you do have to burn fat, you're going to be burning fat, but you're also breaking down your muscle and you're burning muscle on a low calorie diet.
I heard that breaking down muscle is actually easier to break down than fat because it uses less resources from your body. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
That sounds true.
It sounds like I'm pretty sure it is. Like, I can't remember where I learned it, if it was in school or like one of my trainings, but it uses less metabolic mechanisms and less nutrients and less energy to break down muscle. So it's the path of least resistance for energy.
So that would make sense why when people are on a low calorie diet, they're breaking down more muscle than fat, which is why we hit that plateau, because our muscle is what is our metabolism. I think of muscle as like Pac-Man. Like when it sees the sugar and the carbs, it burns it up.
Uses it.
It eats it up. So if we're cutting calories, we're losing the muscle, we're slowing our metabolic rate.
Right.
But if our carbs are imbalanced, and this doesn't mean that you need to be on a low carb diet, it means you need to be on a blood sugar balanced diet, which is two different things too.
Right.
But when you have your blood sugar balanced, it preserves muscle and you're much more likely to tap into fat burning. You can stay fuller longer. It's so much better metabolically.
Well, and this is the importance of muscle. If you really want to burn calories while you're sleeping, have more muscle. Mm-hmm. More muscle mass automatically means you are utilizing calories. And so a lot of people go to the gym to run, and what they really should be doing is building muscle and pumping iron to actually boost their metabolism, because they are going to burn through calories a lot faster. It's kind of like going to a restaurant and feeding three people versus six. Six people are going to eat way more food than three, right? So the people are the muscles, right? You want way more people in that restaurant eating all the food, right? And consuming all the food. And so build muscle, preserve muscle. Don't do this glucose insulin dance or roller coaster that could potentially have your body wasting muscle away to preserve itself because it's in a stress response. Because that's really what it is. Any kind of roller coaster in the body, hormonally, and insulin's a hormone, actually. Right. It is actually a hormone. And so hormonally or blood sugarly, for lack of a better word, like the body doesn't like yo-yos. A yo-yo equals stress to it. And so the body's going to go into that stress response. And so you have to be really mindful that you're balancing it and you are utilizing strategies to balance so that your body feels safe and safe enough to go into that fat burning state.
Yeah. And it was interesting how you said, like when we're talking about the low calories and lowering metabolism just by losing muscle, but also when insulin is released metabolically, it lowers the metabolism naturally.
Interesting.
So that's how we get stuck in those plateaus, is even if we're eating a banana for breakfast and carbs and these things that are lower calorie, but we're releasing insulin, we're also slowing our metabolism. And then we get stuck in that weight loss plateau. We're like keeping our bodies from burning fat. We're slowing our metabolism. Everything just goes to storage and hold on. So there are so many people who are stuck at like, I'm eating 1300 calories. Why is my body not budging? It's like a little simple strategy tweak, your body would shift entirely. It's physiology.
Right. And isn't it, besides red blood cells, every single cell in the body actually has insulin receptor sites. So even though you are eating sugar and your body's releasing insulin, insulin isn't just targeting cells to store calories or to store sugar. It's activating all the cells in your body, your brain cells, neural cells, your gonads, all your sex organs. It's hitting all of those and it's creating either oftentimes insulin is like this excitatory hormone. And so it creates growth. It creates fast cellular replication, which you don't want long-term, and you don't want, it's pushing the gas pedal on a car constantly. We don't want to do that. That's going to damage the engine. And so if we're pushing that gas pedal on these cells constantly, it's going to create a lot of dysfunction and it's going to create a lot of imbalance, and these cells are going to break down faster. But not only that, if people go back 2 years ago where we interviewed Dr. Ben Bickman and we talk about insulin, he talks about how that this hyperinsulin exposure can actually create mutations of the mitochondria, which is what a lot of scientists are saying are the actual cause of cancer cells, is the mutation of the mitochondria, and insulin is a huge part of that. And so we really want to be careful. We don't want to mess. It's like saying, hey, why don't we put like the gas on estrogen and just pound your body with estrogen, right? Everyone would be like, no, that's terrible, right? But yet we're like, oh, insulin's fine. But it's not. Insulin has a lot of functions on a lot of different cells in your body. Yep. If those cells are overexposed to insulin, it's bad news for us.
And I think that if stubborn weight loss is an issue, consider that as like the yellow warning sign.
Right.
Like I'm giving you a warning. learning. And so if we could kind of explain the mechanism behind for a minute, if we could nerd out for a second on how does this blood sugar related to weight gain end up evolving into these things you're talking about, issues and disease. We think about in the very beginning, we eat glucose. It's not really a big deal. Maybe we're moving, our metabolism's working. But over time, if we have too much of it, maybe we're overeating it or it just becomes this heavy burden, it ends up accumulating as fat in the liver. If there's too much glucose, your liver can only hold so much glucose, right? Mm-hmm. So it turns into fat in the liver. And when that starts to build up, what ends up happening is because the liver holds onto glucose, all of a sudden it starts spilling glucose all in your body, mm-hmm. even if you're not eating it, which sucks, right? Yeah. It's like even if you're not eating carbohydrates,
You're releasing it.
You're spilling it into the body. And then that starts to also accumulate fat in your pancreas. Mm. Your pancreas is what releases insulin. So as you keep eating too many carbs and your body keeps releasing more and more insulin because we got to get those carbs out of our blood. Think of glucose as being like, I remember hearing someone say, it's like a piece of glass. Glucose is very sharp. Mm-hmm. So we don't want it circulating in our bloodstream. And right. So I think about that. If glucose, if there's too much and it's circulating throughout our bloodstream and it's creating these little micro tears.
Yes. So it creates these micro tears throughout the vasculature of your body, which leads to atherosclerosis.
Right. So that's how people think of cholesterol as being the bad guy in our cardiovascular system. But those tiny little pieces of glucose creating these little micro tears, cholesterol is just the band-aid. Mm-hmm. It's just trying to protect our arteries.
Right.
But then we get brain fog and it's circulating in our brain tissue and our eyes and our eyesight starts to go bad. Mm-hmm. And so when this glucose starts to build up and we're releasing insulin is what lets glucose into our cells. Mm-hmm. And so that's where if there's too much insulin all the time, our bodies become resistant to being able to use that key to the lock to let the glucose in. So that's where insulin resistance starts to develop. So why does that really matter? Well, if our bodies are not responding to glucose and insulin and taking it inside of our cells, it can't get the fuel that it needs. Mm-hmm. So that affects everything. Think if your brain isn't getting the fuel that it needs.
Right.
We're going to have brain fog. Brain fog can end up turning down the road to dementia and Alzheimer's because the sugar is just building up in the bloodstream instead of getting into our cells.
Don't they call this type 3 diabetes? It's literally insulin resistance in the brain. So you're starving your brain of its fuel source because you've overexposed it to sugar and insulin. And now the cells have become desensitized and they're like, nope, no more. Like we can't do this.
It's like every cell becomes starved. So at the same time, you might also feel really hungry and crave sugar all the time because you're eating the sugar, but it's not getting inside the cell to send that proper signaling like, hey, we've gotten enough nutrients.
Right.
So it's really tough. It turns into like this vicious cycle. And then the glucose that does stay in the bloodstream, that triggers inflammation in the body. And we know that obesity is an inflammation problem. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily just a calorie problem. It's more of an inflammation and a glucose problem.
Right.
The cool thing is that they show once we balance out our blood sugar and we have maybe a style of eating that is more prominent in fats and proteins, these issues can be reversed.
Right.
And then it becomes so much easier.
Mm-hmm. It just requires knowledge and discipline, right?
I wouldn't even say discipline because I actually think it's easier. I think that, like for me personally, I always struggled. It felt like I needed willpower and discipline when I was eating in a low calorie style. Mm-hmm. For me, my lifestyle is a balanced blood sugar way of eating. And it feels very easy because when I'm eating more fats and proteins, I feel full, I feel satisfied, but I'm not having huge carbohydrate swings. So I don't get that big, like hangry crash anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, I feel like my body has adapted to being able to use carbohydrates for fuel, use fat for fuel. And I have this very smooth energy and I don't have these huge craving crashes. And it feels like it's just become a lifestyle instead of like needing discipline, willpower. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that does.
And my metabolism feels better. I don't feel like I'm hit like a plateau. It's easier for me to build muscle as well.
And it's probably your energy is more sustained.
Absolutely.
You know, like you feel like you're on all the time and your brain isn't turning off. You feel satiated after your meals and not like snacky all the time.
Yes. And what you're explaining is exactly how I used to be, trying to do low carbohydrate. I woke up starving. I had to eat as soon as I woke up in the morning, 8 a.m. I needed food. I could not skip breakfast. I needed coffee and caffeine. Mm-hmm. I would get the 3 p.m. crash where I would feel wiped out and I need a snack. I would get really snacky around 3-4 o'clock. I would start looking for food, energy crash. And then I never quite felt like satisfied after eating. Something missing I still needed to hit. I don't know if it was a sweets craving, but I've just never felt finished eating.
Yeah. No, I get that. So it sounds like if someone has a metabolic issue, they can reverse it. But would you say that that's something that's really hard to do? What are we looking at? Months, years?
I mean, I think for everyone's body is so different from depending on where you are starting from. But I think that the coolest thing is your blood sugar can change fast. Mm-hmm. And, this is not advice for any medical issues or diseases or for medication. So please do not take this as medical advice. But many of the people that I've worked with have gone from a diabetic range and not even into pre-diabetic, but into a completely healthy range just by doing natural things.
Yeah.
Just by working in a few supplements that helps their body take glucose and repair that insulin resistance and lifestyle things. Like we talked about how important the strength training is and just being more mindful. And what is cool is people say that it is so much easier because they notice they don't get that big drop anymore. I'll give an example. I had one client who she loved eating 2 waffles every day for breakfast. She's like, oh, I just love it. But as soon as she ate the waffles, she would have cravings for something else all the way until lunchtime. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I just can't stop thinking about snacking. And I was like, let's do a little experiment. What if instead of just the waffles, what if you had 1 waffle and you worked in 2 hard-boiled eggs with it? Mm-hmm. You're getting more protein, you're getting more fat. And she's like, okay, I'll try that out, but you're still getting the waffle. And she did that. And she was like, that is incredible. I feel perfectly fine. Like I'm satiated. My blood sugar feels really stable and I'm really good until lunch.
Right.
And she's like, it was easy. I didn't have to give anything out. That's how it should be, right? Mm-hmm. You can get sensitive to when your blood sugar is stable and when it's not.
I think I learned from you that if you have a meal and you aren't satiated for 4 hours, your blood sugar wasn't stabilized. You didn't eat enough fiber or...
Probably, unless you just didn't eat enough food in general.
Enough food in general, exactly. But let's say you had a big meal, like the pancakes and the waffles, and you're snacking 2 hours. There wasn't enough fiber there. There wasn't enough protein. There wasn't enough fat. Another thing too, that I don't know if we've touched on, the higher the sugar spike, the lower the crash,
exactly.
Right? And so...
The roller coaster.
Yeah. So it's like these peaks and these valleys, right? They have to match each other. So the more sugar you eat, the worse off you're going to be later down the line. And the more damage control your body has to do.
Yeah.
Right.
I think also healing and shifting the cycle. One, if you start making some changes, you'll probably feel it right away. Mm-hmm. In Mastering Blood Sugar, it's only a 2-week course. And I have everyone do a pre-assessment and a post-assessment of how they feel. Mm-hmm. And people are like, wow, I feel a shift in my energy and my cravings. So you can physically on a day-to-day basis, immediately you'll feel your body, most likely you'll probably feel your body make some changes.
Yeah.
And then long term, with labs, I think that the more you consider it beyond just food, the faster you're going to get results.
Yeah.
And that is by thinking about how can I get my cells, not just the food that I eat, to be more balanced, but how can I retrain my cells to get better at taking sugar and pulling it back in and turning it into energy? And there's natural ways that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. And what are they?
So one of them that you mentioned, exercise is one of the most effective. Weight training or strength training has been shown to be more effective than the drug metformin.
Wow. That's insane.
Right?
That's insane.
More effective. A lot of the time I really discredit the strength training.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be a power lifter. It's just when I always come back to my muscle being like the Pac-Man.
Mm-hmm.
If I get more muscle, I have more Pac-Man to eat up more sugar.
Right.
Another one is there are supplements that are incredible. They're natural and they have really great results. And there's one supplement called alpha lipoic acid. And there was a study where they had people taking alpha lipoic acid for 4 weeks. And for only 4 weeks compared to placebo, it improved how well the cell receptors were responding to glucose. So that GLUT4 receptor, that's the one that's responsible for taking glucose and pulling it inside the cell to turn into energy.
Mm-hmm.
And so it improved the way that those receptors worked. And so the study participants in only 4 weeks had significantly significantly greater weight loss than people who did not take the alpha lipoic acid.
That's amazing.
So amazing.
Like ALA is really phenomenal. For it's anti-inflammatory. It's such a good supplement to like really just rotate into your regimen. Mm-hmm. I truly think even if you're not dealing with blood sugar issues, fish oil gets like all the rave reviews. Like it's so anti-inflammatory. I'm like, yes, add ALA to that too. You know what I mean? Because it's so good.
There's an abundance of research. Mm-hmm. It's not like there was just this one thing. I mean, there's an abundance of research on human studies, human trials.
Right.
Another one that I thought was really interesting. I like, this sounds so stupid, but I like to think of them as like cheat codes. Like how can you get your body moving again faster? And, you know, people would always talk about apple cider vinegar. And I was like, where does this come from? Is it a scam? Is it a gimmick? So I really wanted to look. And so I started looking into the research and I was absolutely blown away. Blown away by the effectiveness of apple cider vinegar.
Why? What does it do?
So it does reduce that glucose spike, but it actually affects our bodies at a genetic level. So it can increase our gene expression for more fat oxidation.
So, no way. So like how much apple cider vinegar?
So they had people taking apple cider vinegar for 12 weeks and they only took 15 milliliters, which is...
That's not a lot.
Tiny bit. And that's not a lot.
Isn't that a teaspoon or a tablespoon?
I think so. 15 milliliters is very tiny. And so the results of the study was people who did the apple cider vinegar, it showed anti-obesity effects in many different ways. It improved how their cells used glucose. It reduced their fat cell size.
That's crazy.
I know. It suppressed inflammation in the body. And it increased gene expression for fat burning, fat oxidation. So it shifted the body from a cellular level, from a genetic level, from just how our glucose gets absorbed and does it stay balanced or does it spike? I was so impressed. So the conclusion of looking at many different studies, that this review showed that apple cider vinegar can be very effective as an anti-obesity treatment to support from a blood sugar perspective. So some of these cool things, it is like, I wouldn't take apple cider vinegar as like, this is all that you need to do, you know, or the apple cider vinegar gummies that are loaded with sugar.
Right.
I get that question a lot. Can I do that? Don't like, do no. that. You're just,
please don't.
You're doing more sugar than apple cider vinegar.
That's so funny.
I know. It's like, we're dying to just find one gummy that works for us, you know, but
we're dying to just find candy that works for us. That's like anti everything.
I know. But it's so cool when you bring these things together. It's like, when you eat in a way that can help stabilize blood sugar, right? We get in more proteins, we get in more fats, we start feeling fuller longer. Our body gets used to burning more fats. It starts getting used to using that as a fuel source. And then you work in some lifestyle things, like you're building some muscle that increases how many cells can actually take that sugar in. You're getting your body to like respond better.
Right.
You know, you're taking these little lifestyle things like supplements. Not everyone has to take these supplements, but if you're really trying to maybe reverse some things that your cells are not working so well, you have some insulin resistance, I'm all for like, let's sprinkle on some of these things that just have been shown to be very effective.
That's so cool. It really is amazing that we can do so much damage to our body and yet it can still be very forgiving.
Yeah.
We can use these little tools, these supplements, these foods to really biohack our way back into healing again. It doesn't have to be this uphill climb. It can be really, really simple.
And it's so cool too. Not only will our bodies respond once we start making a change, but also the plants, like people don't realize a lot of time that supplements or even medications a lot of the time come from plant extracts and they can work with our cells to start healing. And so it is such a beautiful opportunity, you know, when people have health issues and they say, I just don't feel like taking my supplements. And I'm like, what an opportunity that I can have the opportunity to take something that will help me reverse the damage that I have done.
Right. So we have these companies that can really hyper concentrate plant extracts and put it in a pill form. I get the pill fatigue. I 100% do.
I do too.
And so I feel you there 100%. And I get that we live in a very privileged day and age where these are missed opportunities. We should totally be able, well, I don't should all over yourself. I shouldn't say should. So don't should all over yourself, right? I think what's really important is lean into the why are you fatigued right now? What is your body trying to tell you, right? There's a message there. Maybe you're doing too much, but also when you feel that overwhelm, that might be a really great opportunity to step back and be like, where's the overwhelm coming from?
Yeah.
And where do I need to take care of myself so that this doesn't feel like a lot?
Yeah. And I think that sometimes blood sugar, I think, can be that big domino that affects everything else. Mm-hmm. That when we make tweaks, not follow a restrictive diet, not have to have rules and regulations, but we just plan differently, right? Instead of the two waffles, I'm going to have a waffle and two hard-boiled eggs, right? Instead of a bowl of oatmeal, which is just that going to give you that pure carbohydrate spike, you have a Greek yogurt with some granola on top, right? Just little simple swaps and tweaks that can make such a big difference in how you feel. And once your body starts using that energy better, a lot of our other systems follow,
right?
Our ovaries can start making more hormones because they're getting the energy and the fuel that they need. Mm-hmm. Our gut microbiome starts getting a more balance of more fibers and a more balance of macronutrients, and that starts working better. Our brain starts using glucose better, and so our brain fog tends to improve, and our cognition. And I think that was one of the coolest things that one of my clients told me was when she started to balance her blood sugar, she goes, it's the weirdest thing. I was always the kind of person who I just could never find my words. I would be in the middle of talking and I could never find my words. And she was the one who actually got her glucose from a diabetic range into a healthy range.
Wow.
And she goes, it's weird. That doesn't happen to me anymore.
Mm-hmm. Like her brain just turned on.
Her brain is working better. Mm-hmm. It's using glucose better.
Right. It's funny because you haven't even touched on fiber. Like we have a little bit, but I mean, the power of fiber, and we spoke a little bit about the microbiome in the beginning, but I mean, when you make these changes, these basic shifts, and you start focusing on fiber and nutrient-dense foods, like that changes the microbiome. Fiber gets turned into short-chain fatty acids. Short-chain fatty acids not only help restore your gut and feed good bacteria, but it also balances blood sugar and has huge epigenetic like modifications that are in your favor.
Fiber is one of the most pivotal keys to health.
Mm-hmm.
It does not get really talked about unless you're like in the scientific community.
It's not a sexy topic.
It's not topic, but it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think just a quick little summary in case you're not following us, fiber doesn't really get digested and absorbed as carbohydrates. I remember Raj would call them like a cheat code.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber is a cheat code because when you look at a nutrition facts label and if it says 25 grams of total carbohydrates,
right,
however much fiber is in there, you get to subtract the carbohydrates.
So if there's like 10 grams of fiber, it's only 15 grams of carbs and only 15 grams of calories
into your bloodstream because fiber just goes in your body and it goes out your body. Mm-hmm. We don't get really calories or nutrients from it. Fiber, one, it doesn't get digested very well. So it keeps you nice and full. It gives you that bulk, but also it is the food for healthy gut bacteria.
Right.
It feeds them. It keeps them alive and flourishing. So if you're taking a probiotic, but you're not eating fiber, they're just kind of going through. They're dying in a few days. They're not being fed.
Right. Well, look how cool this is. Like if you eat a nutrient dense food, which has fiber and vitamins and minerals, you are eating food for two. You're eating food for you and for your gut bacteria because your gut bacteria is eating the fiber, right? And then it proliferates. And then that in turn helps, it helps you then absorb all the nutrients from that food.
Yeah.
Right. So you're getting fueled by eating this nutrient dense food because you're getting the vitamins and the minerals and the antioxidants and then the carbs and the fats and the proteins. But then you're feeding your bacteria the fiber, which is helping you absorb more of those nutrients.
Yes.
Right. So you're getting bigger bang for your buck.
Mm-hmm.
You're absorbing more of the nutrients that your body can absorb, and you're feeding the little guys that help you get a higher absorption rate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so cool.
Yeah.
It's really so cool. And then when that bacteria breaks down that fiber into short chain fatty acids, like it's money right
there. And short chain fatty acids are one of the most important molecules that we could have in our body. I think of it as like the bacteria poop, right? They eat the fiber and then out comes a short chain fatty acid.
Mm-hmm.
And those are signaling molecules that can actually regulate our blood sugar. It can actually stimulate fat burning.
Mm-hmm.
It can get our pancreas to make insulin better. It
stimulates healing.
Healing everywhere in our bodies. It actually reduces our appetite. It reduces sugar cravings. So fiber is interacting with our gut and it's a signaling molecule to get everything to work.
Right.
So we can't just consider like, oh, am I cutting my carbs? We're like, no, we're looking at the bigger picture here. How do we get every system working together? And then it's going to be a lot more effective.
Right.
Some people say, well, I cut my carbs. It's not really working for me. It's not just that little simple piece. It's like, how do we get our gut working well? How do we get the blood sugar stable? How do we boost and increase how well our cells are taking sugar and turning it into energy?
Right.
How do we get this whole machinery back to working again?
Right, exactly. It's really, it's magic. It's almost like our body was designed to eat natural food and not processed food.
Weird.
That is so weird. Gina, this has been really awesome. I think
this is so fun.
People are going to learn a lot from this. Can you give a little bit more details on what, if they sign up for your blood sugar course, mastering blood sugar, what are they going to get out of it?
Yeah, only thing that we really touched on today was the connection between blood sugar and weight loss resistance. But we go deeper into how does this impact our hormones, things like infertility, PCOS, cardiovascular health, brain fog, energy. How do we repair our energy from a cellular level?
Right.
And so we go through each of the steps. First, what I really want everyone to be comfortable with is how do I get to know my body? What are some things from a lab perspective, but also like, how do I know when my blood sugar is fluctuating? Can I tune into what my body's communication? Because your body will definitely communicate to you when you've had too much, too little. You don't have to count anything. You just feel your body and how it's communicating, what fuel source you're using. It's really cool. So step one, I like everyone to get very comfortable with how's their body communicating to them. And then the second class, we go into like food strategy. How do we just make some tweaks and some changes and swaps? Instead of restricting, how do we eat in a blood sugar balanced way that keeps us feeling satisfied and full and metabolically flexible where we can tap into fat burning easier? And then in the third class, we go deeper. We go deep into science. How do we get the cell, your mitochondria, which is what takes your glucose and turn it into energy? How do we get that working better? We go into the science around lifestyle things. What type of exercise has been shown in the science to be most effective? What about standing while you're working? Is that effective versus sitting or sleep? What is the optimal thing there? What are the supplements that can get those receptors working better? And so we're revving up everything, not just from a food perspective, but from a cellular level perspective. And so that is what gives you that metabolism that continues to get better and better and better. So you don't have to keep restricting and restricting and restricting. We're just getting all the systems working together. And then a bonus this year, we might be having some guests talking about some other strategies around blood sugar regulation.
Very cool.
Like we did last year.
Very cool. And I heard that the guest last year was like phenomenal.
Phenomenal. Oh my gosh. I'm still coordinating to see what we can make happen here. But yeah, last year we had Abe is so amazing. He does nervous system regulation. And how do we immediately with like, it's so wild. Like you can move your eyes in a certain way and that triggers your parasympathetic nervous system, which drops your blood sugar. Like it's amazing. He shows how do you tap into these different areas of the brain to regulate blood sugar like instantly.
That's really cool.
People were blown away. It was so cool.
That is cool. Do you think you'll get him back?
I think so.
That's amazing.
I'm working on him, but I think so.
That's awesome.
No promises here, but I think so.
Listeners, thanks for tuning in and spending about 40 minutes with us today.
Yeah.
And we really love your feedback. We love hearing from you guys. If you want to enter to win a hair analysis, you can leave us a review and that automatically enters you. And we contact a winner like every 2 weeks.
That's amazing.
So yeah. So if you want a free hair analysis, make sure you let us know how you are liking the show because we love hearing from you.
Yep.
Gina, this was awesome. You are the glucose queen in my mind.
You're so funny. It's so fascinating. It's like glucose is our number one fuel source, but yet we ignore how do we use it and work with it and get our bodies to like use up that fuel source. And it's just so interesting. I love nerding out on this with
it
you.
It really is. And it's so important to learn about because we are literally set up for failure in our society. with the amount of processed foods that we're exposed to, the amount of sugar we're exposed to. Do you want to hear a funny story before we wrap this up? Yeah. Oh my God, I just die a thousand deaths because I feel so validated. So Ryan, he's so cute. Everyone, Ryan's my new husband, and if you don't know this, and I'm a healthy human, and he thinks he's a healthy human, right? He thinks he does. It's so cute, babe. If you're listening to this, I love you so much.
We love you.
And so like he will eat a salad and then go to Starbucks and get like something with 60 to 70 grams of sugar in it, you know? And he's like, but I have the salad. I'm like, no, honey. You literally just tripled your sugar intake in one coffee milkshake. So anyways, he will oftentimes, this is such a good story. He will oftentimes treat the kids by taking them to the gas station and getting donuts, right? And I lost my shit one day and I saw the kids come home and Tennyson had a 6-foot gum thing, you know, 6 feet of gum. And the kids had these nasty, like gummy pen things. I don't even know what they were, but I picked up my phone. I'm like, babe, this isn't fair anymore that I'm trying to like pound them with green smoothies and supplements and you get to take them to go get donuts. I'm like, this needs to stop. And so we had this like conversation. This has everything to do with sugar. And I'm like, I promise, because Tennyson, we're doing neurofeedback on him and I'm putting him back on supplements. And I had this frank discussion with Ryan where Tennyson was just really out of control with his emotions, his nervous system regulation, because blood sugar in the brain, right? And when he has a lot of sugar, he just gets really reactive and really emotionally like charged, and he's hard to manage. And Ryan didn't quite believe me on this, right? So I said, honey, we got to stop the donuts. We got to stop the things and get everyone back on track. Please be on my team here. And so he did. He went on my team and we started supplementing Tennyson and we stopped the candies and the pizzas and all the things. And Tennyson started to get better, right? And then one night we went out and Ryan got them ice cream. All right. And in the car, the three kids are literally melting. Like their brains are on fire. And I turn to Ryan and I'm like, this is what happens when you feed them ice cream. And he's like, oh my God, we are never doing that again. And I'm like, this is it. Like, I'm not kidding you. The kids were literally screaming and crying and we're stuck. We're all stuck in this truck for 20 minutes driving home. And part of me is like, just bask in this, like just because that is what sugar does to his brain. And then he becomes very reactive and he becomes very emotionally unstable. And it's just like, now we're just managing this beast, right? All from sugar. Yep. And I felt so validated. And ever since, Ryan has been like, yeah, no ice cream. Nope. We're just doing the three gram acai bites from Target. Nope. We're just doing the healthy.
It's hard to believe until you see it.
Yes. And he saw it firsthand and he hasn't bought them donuts since. And I love it.
You know, we can talk about like mechanisms all day long, but until you see it yourself, like for me, I'm not very motivated. I don't follow this all the time, but I noticed that if I eat a bunch of carbs before bed, like popcorn.
Oh my God.
The other night we did a movie night and I had like kettle corn and it was like so good. And I ate like all this kettle corn before bed. The next morning I will consistently, if I eat a bunch of carbs before bed, my face will be puffy and I feel so groggy.
Right.
I have like brain
like a
fog.
Hangover
I
almost.
Have a hangover. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, wow, it's hard. You're like, yeah, I know I get these blood sugar swings, but then you get these little signs and it's like, holy cow, this is really, it really does show up in life.
Right. It does. Crazy. And no wonder kids are so hyperactive and so reactive because they don't eat fiber. They don't eat vegetables. They don't eat foods that are stabilizing their blood sugar. And so of course their brains are on fire. Of course their emotions are heightened. Of course they are having emotional ups and downs. You know what I mean? And so
we could go just, straight into mood. And
oh my God. I know. We'll wrap this up. But I just thought it was like, it was such great. A funny story of, look, when you mess with this kid's blood sugar, I call it his brain goes on fire. His brain goes on fire and he literally cannot process what's happening because he's so sensory sensitive. And so anyways, neurofeedback as well as all these changes are like changing him.
So you're saying by like the second session?
Oh my God. Ryan and I both were like, what is happening?
I noticed that too. Just being over your house this week, I'm like, wow, everything feels very like
grounded.
Just, hey, mom, you know, like just very grounded and soft and not so like, like stimulated.
Totally.
It's really interesting.
There's been some big shifts in the past few weeks.
Like, I didn't realize he did the two things of neurofeedback. I was just like, hey, I just noticed like your kids feel super chill.
So different.
All of them.
I know. It's been amazing. It's been so great. So anyways, dietary changes, they're back on supplements, they're back on smoothies, and they're not not going out to the gas station for donuts.
And they're still normal kids. They still love life. They still ask for the donuts. They're not robots.
No, they're not. Anyways, guys, thanks for listening and we'll catch you next week. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Gutsy Health Podcast. We hope you enjoyed and learned a lot from this episode. For more updates, follow us on Instagram @GutsyHealthPodcast.